Take your lessons, if you would. We're on lesson one. Lesson one. King David and his God. Psalm 51, written, of course, after David had the two chapters you've been looking at with your lesson, 2 Samuel 11 and 12. David then with a broken heart in Psalm 51, after all the sin, the murder, the lies, the cover-up, all of that, after he had done all of that, Nathan the prophet, God's man, goes to him, points his finger and says, you're the man that stole, you're the man that did all these things. David immediately turns his heart, repents of his sin, and God forgives him. David's life is then not going to be taken, as David had said that the man's life should be taken that would take a lamb. He said, God's going to spare your life, but there's going to be some hardships because of what you did. We went through the questions last week. We won't go through them this week. You notice on your books, as we go through this, the tragic story of King David's sin is recorded us in the Word of God. It's not recorded for us to place David's sin on public display, but to provide for all time and all people a way back to God. That's what the benefit of this record is. David's heart cry in Psalm 51 is the sinner's guide back to God. It's the sinner's guide back to God. In our lives in the past, we've sinned. We've fallen. We've come up short. Satan tells us, you failed at that too many times. You're a loser. You can't do it. And he's right. We can't do it in and of ourselves. But through the power of God's Word and God's Holy Spirit, we can honor the Lord in our lives. And those things that are past, if we confess them, they're past. And the Lord will forgive them. Might there be things that continue to happen because of them? Yes. Yeah, parents, if you don't live for the Lord when your kids are growing up, don't be surprised if your kids don't live for the Lord. That doesn't mean you can't turn. It certainly doesn't. Because God was always there. When we think of men like David, a man after God's own heart, and yet all that he did, looking on another man's wife, having her, having him killed, doing things to cover it up, thinking he maybe got away with it. Maybe, boy, I'll make sure I don't do that again. And then God's man coming out and pointing his finger, saying, thou art the man. And considering this story, it's good to read some of the Psalms. Some of the Psalms, in fact, in order that were written, if you'd take a pen, I'd like you to write down four Psalms. Psalm 38, Psalm 2, Psalm 51, and Psalm 32. 38, 2, 51, 32. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 12. Psalm 51, talking about David, a man who walked with God and then entered into terrible sin. However, he was later restored to fellowship with God. We journey with David from his fall to his restoration. In 2 Samuel 12, the stirring story of Nathan's confrontation with King David after David's sin with Bathsheba. This is a story about a king and his God. Everyone's story is the same. It is about our response to God. Our response, mine and your response, to our sin, our lives, and our God. There's other people that may be involved in the events in our lives, but it's still about the relationship between God and you. This is a pattern to go back to a time of fellowship, a sweeter time when you walked closer with the Lord. It can still be had. It's not gone forever. David was the kind of man that a nation admired, but he committed terrible sins. For a time, his life became a trail of lust, lies, and murder. But the amazing miracle is his return to God. And each one of us can have that. We see on page 6 of your lesson, the fall of the king. David's kingship had afforded him many privileges, but it did not afford him the privilege of breaking God's law without reaping the terrible consequences. A person's public fall is not his first fall. First, something happens privately, secretly, in our hearts. As David walked on the roof of the house of the king's palace that day, and he looked out and saw a woman bathing, his next step should have been go back into the king's palace, maybe send somebody over there and tell her, don't bathe out there, bathe in private, something. But he didn't do that. He looked and he looked and he looked. And he looked and he lusted. And then he went, sent a servant and took her. The look, the first look, we can't stop. We live in a world where people are more and more undressing. I've got missionary friends that say, you think it's bad here. You go into some of these other countries and they hardly wear anything. The first look, we can't stop. The second look, we better stop. And the third look, we better stop. We better not let that thing build. Because you'd say, could I ever do that? Could I ever do such a vile thing? Could I ever do that against my wife? Could I ever do that against my God? No, I don't think I could. Well, David did, and he was a man after God's own heart. So the reality is, it can happen. It can happen. The private sin is where we have to fight the battle. We've got to fight the battle there. If we don't fight it there, by the time you get out here, man, that's a hard time. That's a hard time. And a lot of hurt comes after that. We read the story of David's sin in 2 Samuel 11. The army of Israel had gone to battle, but David stayed behind. Read with me in 2 Samuel 11, 2. Second Samuel 11, 2. And it came to pass in the eventide that David arose from his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. When David beheld Bathsheba and what she was doing, sinful desires burned in his heart. A beast was unleashed inside of him. He had a moment to decide, and he made a terrible decision. A terrible decision. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you more than you want to pay. The broken hearts. We've heard Pastor talk about the broken hearts that he has sat in his office and counseled with people and the broken lives that follow. Moms, dads, children. They always get stuck. Whether mom's leaving dad or dad's leaving mom, the children, they always get stuck, don't they? That's what sin does. Sin destroys. We've got to get it in its first step. We've got to get it right then. We've got to get the first look. Whatever the sin is. Here it's a man lusting after a woman. Whatever it is. Each of us have different things that are besetting sins, whatever it is for you, you've got to get it early. You've got to deal with it. You're right. Your walk with the Lord has to be right, or else we don't get in those first steps. And then after that comes destruction. 2 Samuel 11:5. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. As soon as David learned that Bathsheba was with child, the attempted cover-up began. Her husband Uriah, one of David's mighty men. David's mighty men. They were mighty soldiers, weren't they? But more than that, they were mighty with the Lord. This wasn't just a brave soldier. This is a man that loved the Lord, that served the Lord with his whole heart. One of David's mighty men. Here David devises a plan to try to deceive Uriah. He brought him off the battlefield, even got him drunk, yet Uriah would not go home to his wife while his brethren were yet at the war. 2 Samuel 11:14. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. That letter was Uriah's death. In that letter it said, this man is to be put to death. Uriah, being the faithful man, takes that letter, no idea what's in it, goes back to the battle and delivers it to Joab. Joab executes the orders. Uriah is killed. Finally, David sent the death letter by the hand of Uriah himself, and Uriah was killed. The fourfold judgment of God. The Lord used Nathan the prophet, God's man. When God's man comes to you and says, I think you have a problem, you need to listen. You need to say, oh, you don't understand. You don't know. When God's man, and I wouldn't think that the pastor would have to come to any of you and say, hey, fella, you got an issue that you need to deal with. But here, Nathan came to David face to face with his sin. A fourfold judgment from God comes into David's house. This was the sad result of David's sin. Sin always has sad results. There's never any pleasure. You can't think to yourself that I can just enjoy this sin and then I can... No. No. I'll tell you what, we've got the younger class in here. You let that sin build up over 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and then try to have victory over it. You got a battle on your hand. You got a full-time job on your hand. Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That shall he also reap. We can't sow those seeds. Numbers 32:23. Be sure your sin will find you out. It found David out. He thought he had covered it up. He thought he had kept it quiet, but certainly not. 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Verses 1 through 6, we see Nathan telling the story of a rich man who took a poor man's only lamb and he killed it and fed it to a visiting traveler. David was angered. David said this man should surely die for what he did. And then he should and that he should restore the lamb fourfold. 2 Samuel 12:7. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thou art the man. God's man told him a story about a rich man stealing the only lamb of a neighbor. A lamb that had drank out of the neighbor's cup and ate off the neighbor's plate and slept with them and lived with the family. And yet the rich man didn't want to use his lamb, so he steals the neighbor's and feeds it for the traveling to the traveling person. And David pronounces the judgment. And Nathan says, you're the man. Thou art the man. You're the guy that did this. And David knew in his heart that it was commonly known. God pricked his heart. And David responded right. Nathan looked at David in the face and said, "Thou art the man." Immediately, David knew that his sin had been found out. David's verdict came to pass. 2 Samuel 12:10. "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife." First, the baby died. The baby died. Second, David's daughter Tamar was defiled by her half-brother Amnon. Third, Absalom killed Amnon. Then fourth, Absalom tried to steal the kingdom. Stole the people's heart and tried to steal the kingdom. Joab finally killed him. Sin allowed to grow, it will seduce, destroy, corrupt. It brings sadness, heartbreak, separates families. That's what sin does. That's what happens when we allow sin to have place in our life. That's what happens. The forgiveness of sin, does it come? Yes, it does. It comes when, first of all, after repentance. After repentance. After we first realize we have a problem, we've sinned, we've done something wrong. We are not living right before God. The forgiveness of sin, is it there? Yes, it is. In 2 Samuel 12:13, "And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die." God spared his life. By the law, he should have been put to death. God spared his life. David prayed and fasted for the child. In Psalm 51, verse 4, we see David realizing that his sin wasn't against the woman, it wasn't against the nation, it was against who? It was against God. Psalm 51, 4, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." And when I say it wasn't against the woman, obviously he did violate her. But David was coming to the big realization. He had sinned against God. That's who he had sinned against. You sin against a man, and it's not right. You sin against a holy God. David sinned against a holy God. He prayed and begged for the child's life. He begged God to let his son live, but the child died. The heart of David was broken. But God forgave David's sin. How can God forgive such sin? The reason God can be just and holy and forgive our sins is because he gave his only begotten son to be the propitiation for our sin. Romans 3:26. I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of them which believe in Jesus. Why can he do it? Because he is the justifier. He is the one that paid for our sin. He is the one that righted the wrong in with our relationship before a holy God. Our sin debt was paid by the blood of Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. Our sin debt was paid by the blood of Christ. Jesus Christ died for not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. We have to claim that forgiveness, and then we have to allow that forgiveness. You can put your sins on the altar here today, and you can get up and leave, and the Lord will take care of them. If you come with a broken heart as David did, but what you've got to do is you've got to then leave them there. Satan will keep bringing them up, but you got to leave them there. You got to leave them there. We learn from our failures in the past. but they're gone. They're underneath the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for my sins, and he died for your sins. First thing we need through Jesus Christ is salvation. Have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior? Then secondly, we need Jesus Christ's strength and power to grow, to honor God. May God help us to judge sin at its beginning, fight the little devils in our life, fight them early, the sooner the better, because when they're done, the end is death. That's the end of sin. The end of sin is death. Thank you for coming. Our verse for next week is verse 2, okay? We'll be looking for somebody to say both of those verses. If you have any questions on your memorization or anything I might have said, please feel free to get a hold of me. Again, thank you for coming. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we see your word. Lord, we see a pattern here of a way back to you. Lord, it's certainly many people in this church that need to go down that path. Lord, help them to know. Help them to learn from this story how they can, again, walk right before a holy God. We thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.